Remember my Black Friday story?
From earlier just now?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I cut that out. Hello and welcome to episode 256 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. And with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, BC.
Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say Tübingen. I did say Tübingen, Germany. I didn't say Baden-Württemberg. That's the part that I left out.
Okay.
BW, right. Not BC. BW.
Great.
Back in Germany.
Yeah.
That was fast, huh?
Yeah, you whirlwind.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my plan. Only taught your kids the once, had breakfast.
Yes.
At the place there that looks like the old 50s diner.
Yeah, they've already forgotten that you were here.
No, they didn't. No. Maybe they probably have. I mean, they move on pretty fast.
Yeah.
Amazon, today, when you're listening to this, or when you're able to listen to this...
Mm-hmm. It's probably Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
To this.
I can't believe that in my lifetime we achieved Cyber Monday. I talked about this when I was about 8 years old.
That one day there'll be a Cyber Monday.
Yeah, I did a presentation to my grade, what is that, 2 class.
Sure.
And that was like, I mean, think about this. This is like, we're talking like 1980 or something. Okay. I don't even know when that was. I did a presentation about how we would buy things on the internet.
Right.
And there would be a special one day in November designated like specials.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have a name for the presentation?
No, I didn't actually do that. That was all just a little skit I was doing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No. Yeah.
But anyways, people should go to Amazon and buy stuff on Cyber Monday.
Like good stories.
And click through our site. But yeah, buy a book of good stories on Amazon. But click through our site, of course.
Click through our, it helps us out. People are doing it. I got, we get checks. It's pretty fun. It's pretty cool to see.
It's mostly my wife though, right?
Right. I assume so. I don't know. The checks aren't made out from, you know, from individual people.
Okay. All
right. We could do that. We could cut out the middleman. Yeah. What's going on, Adam?
Creed.
Right. Did you see it?
I'm a huge Rocky fan. No, it just came out today.
Okay.
And I checked Rotten Tomatoes and Certified Fresh at 93%, the next Rocky installment. I am a huge Rocky fan.
Okay, rank, before this one, rank the Rockies 1 through 6, go.
Well, I didn't really particularly like 6 at all, but I love number 1, mm-hmm. Academy Award, Best Picture, 1976, love that one. 2 is good, not great. 3 is iconic for, you know, all that
Thunder
it
Lips.
Was. 80, Thunder Lips and Mr. T and just, I mean,
who?
It just Thunder Lips and Mr. T.
No, it wasn't Mr. T, was it?
It was Clubber Lang, but...
Thank you.
Yeah. So Clubber Lang and Thunder Lips, but loved 3. Loved 4 because it was Ivan Drago, and it was also filmed at the Agrodome in Vancouver. So that one's got a Canadian feel to it. So the first 4 are magnificent. I dare to rank those because to me they're all great, but I'd say number 1 is the best. I would say number 3 was my second favorite, then 4, and then I'd go back to 2.
Oh, see,
I'd
go 1, 3, 2, 4.
1, 3, 2, 4. Oh, really? You like 2 better than Ivan Drago?
Okay, but now, if you look at it now.
Now, yes. Back then, no way, because
right there,
I was very impressionable.
We were in the middle of the Cold War, although I guess we are now, too. But so it does hold up. But just you're in the middle of all that rhetoric, and you don't know, like Russians are the most evil people on the planet at the time, and as we were told to believe. And then that comes out and it's just, wow, I wasn't even American. And I was like, I was rah, rah.
And there's this different nostalgia for me about 3 and 4, because I went to 3 and 4, both in the movie theater as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't remember too many movies as a kid that I went to the theater to see, but I remember both Rocky III and Rocky IV vividly, and I also remember some of the Star Wars movies, definitely Empire Strikes Back. I think that was the first movie I ever went to see in the theater.
Uh-huh.
And so again, it holds a special place in my heart, the Rocky movies. Number five was okay, but I was in high school, and it just didn't hold water as far as, you know, it didn't fit with the rest of the movies. And the last one, you know, I hardly made it through. So
right.
And apparently the critics actually liked that last one. The one that was called Rocky Balboa was
sure.
Just terrible, in my opinion. But this one rejuvenates the series, according to the critics, 96% with the audience reviews and 93% with the critics. That's ridiculous.
I can tell that you're excited.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm so excited. So I will hopefully get to see this soon. Convincing my wife to go with me will be difficult. So this might be a dad shows up by himself late at the movie theaters by himself one night.
That is my favorite move.
I don't think it's appropriate for my son. I haven't looked, but I'm assuming the fight sequences are pretty graphic, and so I don't think I can take him.
It's boxing, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure how much, you know.
He's a little bit young. I would say like 8 or 9 is probably the cutoff. Think about when you saw Rocky III.
We do, though, however, show him a fair bit of wrestling. So he is exposed. I don't think it could be much worse than professional wrestling, even though wrestling's fake. This is fake, too.
But fake?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fake-ish.
Staged.
Yeah.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah. So level of excitement up. Can't wait for the cinematography.
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, and do you want to know what else?
Yeah. Hey, while we're on a roll.
While we're on a roll. I did dance photos for kids at my daughter's mm-hmm. dance studio. So I did a set of three girls. They were sisters.
Did you shoot anything interesting category?
Yeah. Isn't that what we're talking
sure,
about?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. So I did that. And I didn't post any of them Facebook. However, I did post several pictures on my website because I had asked them, you know, if they minded if I put some up on my website. And then after they said, yeah, I didn't want to say, oh, and by the way, can I put them also on Facebook and blah, blah. So I was good with just asking for my website, and they were complied. So I actually was inspired to put a separate page up on my website that's just dance. So a couple of my daughter, some from the most recent photo shoot, some really, I mean, in my opinion, some really nice dance photos, and something I definitely think I'm going to get more into as my daughter gets older and as we're more connected to the dance element. It's fun, and it's just something totally different.
I'm going to look at those
so
now.
Check those out.
I'm going to look at them right now. So you got to be bopping and scat.
I put a dance tab on my website. So now there's an extra page. There you go.
Okay, clicking on it now. Oh, awesome. Okay, these are all like white background.
All white background, done in my living room with the big white background. I didn't put any group shots. I did get them in doing some cute groupings. I might add more. I just wasn't sure how many photos I wanted to put from the one shoot, but I put, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8, maybe more photos from that shoot, and then a couple from older shoots with my daughter.
Cool.
Yeah.
Those are good. I think what does she take dance at, like a dance hall? Like what is the venue?
It's a studio.
Like a studio.
It's a dance studio. Yeah. This is hardcore. I think she does, I don't know, somewhere between 6 and 8 hours a week of dance.
Okay. So will they let you shoot photos there?
They're pretty hardcore there about their hours and the studio timing, so I've never bothered to ask.
Mm-hmm. Well, but they're going to get good photos out of the deal, though.
Yeah, again, it's one of those things. I'm not sure if I want to do that. Yeah, that's kind of opening Pandora's box. So I think for now I'm content to let anybody interested come to me. Of course, you know, do good photos for one person, and then already I know there's other girls asking. My daughter or mom's asking my daughter if, hey, would your dad, you know, do photos for us? So I think I'm content at that level, doing it in an environment that I can totally control. And yeah, for now, I don't think I'm going to seek to go into the studio. And I know they do regular dance photos. They get one of the, you know, the big studio places to come in and do photos, which are fine. They're mostly white background and they do them with their costumes and stuff. But I kind of like the authentic stuff, like, you know, not in their big costumes, just in their simple ballet everyday jazz outfits and just doing some neat poses. So, and I kind of let them do it. Like a lot of this stuff is, I gave a few ideas and suggestions, but a lot of times they're just like, oh, what about this, what if I try this, what if I do this, and it was really fun. So
great.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I'm still on the what's going on section, but...
Okay.
So like I said, back in Germany, don't have jet lag, which is nice.
No.
Have kid lag, though.
Yeah.
That is way worse than jet lag.
That's where the kids are nothing but compliant and really are after all things that please daddy.
Yeah, standard.
Yeah.
No. No. Because when I got
back, get your slippers when you sit down and your newspaper.
Who wants
your
a smoking, scotch, Dad?
Your smoking pipe. Yeah.
Let me top that scotch up for you.
Yeah.
When I got back, obviously I was gone for just over a week, and so I got back and they were just thrilled, like everything's daddy, you're the greatest, just 30 seconds.
Right.
And then it's like, all right, back to normal. Just going to light the house on fire. And so that's good. So they don't let me sleep. That's the good part. I can't even get over my jet lag because they won't let me sleep. So that's awesome.
Okay. All right.
What else? Oh, yeah, Lufthansa. I flew Lufthansa. I managed to avoid the strike. I didn't mention that last week. I almost didn't show up in Canada.
Because there's a strike.
They had a strike right up until the day, like for a week before I flew, right up until the day that I flew. It was the very first day back. Like, I flew at 7 in the morning. It was, like, the first flight back from the strike.
Right.
So I managed to make it. And then when I got back, they're talking about striking again.
Oh, so you hit a sweet spot.
I feathered it, yeah. They may avoid it. We'll see. But one of the things, like, so I flew Lufthansa, and then it's not a bad flight. It's 10, you know, roughly 9 hours.
Okay.
To Frankfurt. And then I have to connect to get to Stuttgart, but... So it's about a 9-hour flight. It's not bad. A little bit tight. The new plane we flew on, not a lot of room.
Okay.
And the guy sitting next to me, he was not aware of that the armrest was the demarcation point for his chair, his seat.
Right. Right.
Did a lot of hanging over into my seat.
Oh, I thought he was maybe sitting on your lap.
No. Which I guess I sent him mixed messages though, because I was stuffing loonies into his G-string. So I didn't feel too bad because, you know, he was in the middle and I was in the aisle and he had nowhere to go. But on the flight, both ways, they come around, you know, hey, would you like something to drink? You know, boy, would I. You know, and I don't, in life, I don't really drink gin and tonic, but on the plane I do.
Okay.
Because, you know, it helps me forget that I'm on an airplane.
Yeah.
And so they come around and give me a gin and tonic, and then I ask for another one on the way by, and, no, we're done serving that. What's that about?
Is that typical, or?
I don't know. I've never had an issue in other airlines, and I've flown Lufthansa before, but my point is this. I can have more than one gin and tonic. I'm good like that. It's in your best interest to give me probably three gin and tonics, and then I will sleep and not bother you the rest of the flight. That is one less passenger. Like, I probably won't even eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see a rationale.
So if they hand out everybody, if all 257 passengers each get three gin and tonics, they can just sit in the back and play cards the whole flight.
Maybe they're worried about if everybody... keeps them running around for gin and tonics. They're basically worried about the upfront taxation on their job. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but on a 9-hour flight, I'd rather front load all that work and then just get back.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that would be smart. Yeah, just knock everyone out. Pour everyone triples.
Not a bad way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was in Canada, I also solved my computer problem.
Okay.
Remember, I was having all those issues. I bought a new laptop.
That'll do
it. Well, no, okay, sorry, not new. I bought a used
laptop. Either way, you're not using the broken one anymore.
I still am. I haven't made the switch yet.
Okay.
Because I'm mid-project. I'm still editing that. The reason I went to Canada was for to shoot that video. And yeah. I haven't finished editing it yet. Like, I come back here, and it takes quite a while to edit, so I'll be working on that. And so I'm not going to transfer mid project.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, don't want to do that. Plus, it's a pretty tight turnaround, like pretty tight deadline on this project. So I can't afford any downtime, like, you know, sitting here talking to you for an hour.
Right.
But so I got the newer laptop. Went with the 13-inch MacBook Pro.
Okay.
But newer than mine was a 2008, and I went with the 2012 or 11, 12, late 2011 or something like that.
Yeah.
On the rationale that the ones in the stores are around still around $1,400, and they're pretty much the 2012 model, the MacBook Pros.
Right, they're not used though.
No, they're not used. But that's the thing is I had to figure, okay, I can gamble and save around $800 mm-hmm. by buying a used one, and just go from there.
Yeah.
So I did that. I opted to save the $800 plus tax.
And that's where, you know, computers are very different than camera gear, is that, you know, the depreciation value on a, you know, on a computer that's 4 years old, even though, like you say, the technology in the new MacBooks might not be very different, is, mm-hmm. you know, half
yeah.
of what it's roughly what its starting value is. Whereas for cameras, it seems like people want more. Yeah, this is appreciated.
Yeah,
in
that's
the,
right.
This
is a rare unit.
Yeah. Yeah,
they didn't. The 18 to 55 F456. Yeah. They only made about a billion of these.
Yeah,
and when they're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty funny. And because I like to peruse Craigslist for all things camera. I mean, sometimes just for anything. It's funny, you know, seeing camera stuff on Craigslist that is more expensive. It's, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, and it's more expensive than when I can walk into the store today and pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're talking tax in. I can go buy something new, pay tax up. People just haven't done their research and realize that, you know, that 2-year-old camera has actually dropped price most of the time in the store.
Yeah.
So your 2 years worth of using it and me meeting you in some random alley is probably less desirable than the brand new store with a receipt.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do sort of like the chutzpah on those people. Yeah. I kind of appreciate
it. I do like once in a while you'll see somebody who's just like myself, has that view, but will actually take the time to make a Craigslist ad saying exactly just that. What is wrong with you people? You can buy this at whatever store right now for this price. You guys are crazy. And I'll see those ads pop up once in a while, and I get a good kick out of it, but I've never taken the time to write one.
No, on the other hand, though, because I thought about this, because when I was in Vancouver, I went to the used sports store. This is not photo related, but they have the, you know, you can buy the consignment sporting goods.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a great place to find stuff for kids. Like, I actually bought two pairs of ice skates, hockey skates, for my kids, for my daughter, actually, because my son already has hockey skates that I bought for him in the summer, but I didn't know what size to get her, because she's kind of between sizes. So I think, you know, size 11 is going to fit this year. Maybe she might need size 12 next year. And I thought, well, one pair is $4 and one pair is $7, so I'll just get both.
Probably a good plan.
Yeah, just got both of them in the bag, and everything worked out. But I thought about it. I was like, you know, because I was going to sell my old hockey gear, and I thought about it, and I'm like, really, what are you going to get for it? You know, like, if you sell my hockey pants for $5, and then the store keeps 40% of that, so I'm going to get $3 for my old hockey, you know, if I sell them.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought about it.
And a bacterial infection.
No, mine are all good. Mine are, yeah. No, but see, here's the thing. Now, this is one way I was going to go. If I put my hockey pants in the these are the outer pants, not the underpants.
Okay.
So there's no, yeah, we're all good.
Okay.
So if I sell, let's say I put my hockey pants in the consignment store and I price it at $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
I only have to sell one pair and I'm set.
Right.
I mean, granted, it probably won't go the first week, but you never know, right?
Yeah, you never know.
So that's the way I chose to go on that. So if you see my pants in there, I autographed them as well.
I put my my battery grip, my Canon 5D Classic battery grip on Craigslist, mm-hmm. and guy's coming to pick it up today. Apparently,
what does that sell for?
I think I put it for $40.
Mm-hmm.
I got it when I bought the 5D Classic. I had no interest, was not looking for a battery grip. Have a couple batteries. I've used the battery grip once the day I actually bought it to test it out, and I've never used it since.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured, what I find is with my camera bags that I presently own, that with the battery grip on, it doesn't fit nicely. I don't like how it fits into either of my bags. Uh-huh. And so I thought, in order to keep this, which I've never used a battery grip, I've never seen the need to have one, I'm perfectly fine with one battery dying and popping in the other one, that again, it's never going to get used. So I figure I might as well sell it while there's people out there that still actually want to buy it. So I did that. So I figured it's probably worth more than that, except for it's worth nothing to me sitting in my bag, and it cost me pretty much nothing. It was basically a throw in with the 5D. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't paying more as a result of getting it. So anyways, I'm going to have another Craigslist interaction today. And the best part is the guy was probably lived about 45 minutes away, and I'm selling it for, you know, whatever it was, 35 or 40 bucks. And he's like, would you be willing to meet somewhere?
Yep.
And I was like, front porch. It's exactly, that's what I said. It's $40. Yeah. I'm not traveling on this one. And so anyway, so he
if I meet you halfway, you're going to watch me smash it in the parking lot of an Arby's.
Yeah. I think he's going to be quite happy because the battery grip is basically, it looks like it's never been touched. So
right.
Good deal for him, for somebody who actually liked battery grips.
Now, that's the thing with the battery grip. I've never had an issue, like you said, of carrying extra battery around in my bag or my pants pocket. I've never looked at my camera and said, gee, I wish this was bigger.
Yeah.
The only thing that people, like, I can get on board with is the second shutter release.
Yeah. And I again, doesn't feel natural to me. I don't have the muscle memory with it. Mm-hmm. So again, it just feels wrong to me. I'd probably have to invest a lot of time shooting that way. And some people say, from a standpoint of making the camera feel more stable, again, when all you've ever done is shoot just, you know, camera handheld, it's not an issue anymore. May have been at the beginning, but certainly isn't anymore. Mm-hmm. So the added bulk, the added weight, like, to me, that's more of a nuisance. And like you say, not fitting into the bags that I have, because it wasn't factored in when I bought the bags that I bought.
Right.
Just more of a hassle. And I thought, I'm going to hold on to it for 6 months and let's just see if I use it. That window has come and gone and I'm not. So bye-bye to the battery.
Nice. Grip.
Yeah.
See you never.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you did talk about shooting something interesting. I'll just blow through mine real quick.
Okay, go for
it. I've shot very little. I've mostly video editing this week because it's been just like we talked about on, did we talk about it on the show last week? Probably. Basically, yeah. I shoot and shoot and shoot, and then I shoot and then have to edit quickly
yes.
to kind of get it all together in case I miss something before I fly home.
Right.
So I have to go back and pick up some shots, which I did just after we talked last week. I went and picked up, you know, 8 or 10 little insert shots to kind of help the editing process. And then but there's one scene I wanted to talk about. I shot a scene. I had to shoot a scene at night in front of the Olympic torch downtown.
Okay.
Well, it's what it's called, right? The Olympic flame, but there's no flame.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they light it up all kind of, I don't know what color it is, purple? What color is the lights down there?
Yeah, like an indigo kind of bluish, purpley color.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. But there's a scene where you know, the characters were looking at the thing at night. And I knew, okay, well, I have my cinema lenses that are both T1.5s, so I can see in the dark. At ISO 1600, shutter speed 1/50th of a second, because I'm shooting video. And at 1.5, I'm going to get a decent image. Like, I'm going to get, like, the lights in the city behind are going to be enough light, and they're going to be kind of all really, like, the bokeh is going to look amazing. But I still need to throw a little light on the faces of the actors.
Okay.
How do you do that? I mean, you have an LED.
Yeah, video light.
I don't have that. I didn't really feel
you
like...
You don't?
No, I don't have one of those. I was gonna.
You're a video guy, though.
I know, but in my workflow, it hasn't come up until now. And,
okay.
And so I just lit it with the iPad.
Oh, there you go.
And so I basically,
is that enough light?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. I mean, we're talking close-ups. I shot with the 85mm, and so this was easier shot in tight. So I was able to get the iPad in tight, just out of frame. And basically, I didn't have time to, you know, I didn't want to use my iPad because I had enough stuff going on. So I emailed one of the other guys three different JPEG files, one of them white, one of them kind of a yellowy, one of them kind of blue. And that way, depending on how the light was balanced outside, we could just use that file as the light source.
Right.
So basically, you know, went into Photos, used it full screen. It was just a big white thing. And that actually worked out quite well in terms of color balance. And it kind of looked really good. Like it's subtle because you're not overlighting the, you don't want them to be overlit. You just want a nice image that kind of blends in with nighttime. And so it worked out quite well. So I'm probably going to...
That's where that iPad app that I had once upon a time, like it's like a softbox app for your iPad, and you can pretty much dial in whatever color, different patterns, all kinds of things. But essentially, mm-hmm. it's meant to be a photo light. Yeah, that would have worked perfectly for your scenario.
Right. Did you have to pay for the app?
Yeah, but it was like $2.99.
Oh, I pocketed that money.
Yeah,
I saved that.
Now you're rich.
Yeah, didn't even use my iPad, so it all worked out.
There you go.
Yeah, but no, it actually worked out quite well. So that's something that you know, for fun, maybe we'll do again in the future and just show that off.
Okay,
there you go. Photo challenge. Let's get into it. Finally, it was window light. Why was it window light?
Because you were talking about how this time of year the window light looks a little different, and
okay, that part was all
you wanted like a winter window light, yeah. Was I think the example.
Well, I actually do like the winter window light, but the reason it was a challenge this week is because I knew I was like absolutely positively busy as heck.
Okay,
so I knew that basically you and I would just, as soon as we stopped recording, would just whip the camera out and snap our photos because I had to fly and whatnot.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, you knew that.
You had that plan in your head, but you told me once I arrived.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it worked out.
Thanks for sharing your plan.
I wrote it in the show notes. Yeah. So, but no, but in all honesty, I really do love the window light this time of year. Like, you get a lot of, you know, such a wide variety because of the Northern Hemisphere, the sun's so low. And I think we've talked about this on a past episode, but... If you're on a north-facing window, you get that nice glow comes in and you can shoot that soft image. Or on a sunny day, you get that low light streaming in and you get, like, again, slashes and pockets of light that you can, you know, really kind of hard light, but a nice golden from a low angle, and it looks really cool. So you have a lot of options that you can go with the window light. So without further ado, let's look at the one I shot of you. Now we're going with the blinds.
The shades? Yeah, the blinds. Yeah. Yeah.
So here's Captain Handsome with the blinds acting as a gobo.
Yeah.
The end. I just thought...
It's fine. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Do you like it?
Eh. It's, you know...
It doesn't say winter window light.
Oh, it says zebra.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'll be honest. There's not a ton of photos that I say, wow, I love photos mm-hmm. of me. So it's fine. Again, I don't have much else to say.
It looks like your face is reffing the hockey game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
That's what it looks like to me. No, I kind of like this effect, though. I'm thinking this is probably just the wrong lens for this. Or the wrong use of this lens, more to the point. Because I didn't have real, I mean, I guess I did, we did have control of the apartment I was in, but I was staying at a friend's place, who was out of town. And so I didn't really want to go around rearranging her whole apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Actually that part I didn't mind. I didn't want to put it back was the issue. Right. And so, you know, I kind of wanted to make sure that everything was out of focus. Normally I think I would have stepped back a little bit, and this is the 85 cinema lens. Cause I didn't bring my still lenses with me. Mm-hmm. And so all I had was my 85 cinema lens, the Rokinon or whatever it's called, and it's manual focus only.
Right.
And the aperture is right on the barrel, so it's kind of a weird little muscle memory thing that you're not used to.
Yeah.
So basically what I did was I focused the minimum focal distance and basically just in order to focus just physically moved in, you know, forward and back until your eye was in focus. And then snap the shot. I think I used Live View for this one, actually.
Okay.
And so that's what we went with. So it's a little bit, the perspective was a little off. I think I was paying more attention to focus and then I did was composition. But all in all, this is kind of a cool effect that I would use again in the future. But do better.
Yeah. Do better.
Yeah. All right, so let's have a look at the one you shot. Oh, hey, look at that guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's you. I mean, this to me was challenging in the fact that I was using your camera to take this, and mm-hmm. then a cinema lens and manual focus, which again is so far out of my normal comfort zone that I spent all my time just trying to get the focus and live view. And again, we were shooting this at I want to say 1.4 or 1.8. I don't know what this ended up being.
1.5.
1.5. So again, super shallow depth of field and trying to focus it in live view. And if I come out of live view to check my composition, then I move the camera 3 millimeters and then your eye's out of focus. So I think I took whatever 8 or 10 snaps that you sent me, and this was one of two that were in focus.
Yep.
So basically I went with this. I like the photo. This was done with the window light, but you're kind of not directly in the window. This was kind of feathered window light.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I went with that was I wanted a very soft effect, because if I'm shooting completely back to the window, you're going to end up, it's going to be a lot more contrasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, based on what was in the room, I found the one place that looked like a blank white wall. And there was some texture to it, but it was as clean a background as I could find. And so I was looking at, you know, how I could feather the light and then how I could basically have a non-distracting background. So this is what we got. And I think it's a good headshot. I like it.
Decent, yeah. I mean, it'll look extreme because my nose is out of focus.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, your ear's way out of focus.
Which I'm fine with the ears, but usually I and that's not really your fault. That's just the lens we were using and how we were using it. But I like the uncluttered background because, I mean, really it allows everybody to just really focus on my beauty. I ended up getting...
You got a very stoic look, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, again, I think it's a decent effect. And it was done in a matter of seconds, which, I mean, outside of the fact that I was struggling to get focus and figure out how to work the aperture and whatnot. But still, even with all that said, you know, we did this very quickly. And so this is an effect that can be easily achieved by anyone.
Yes. That's what I like about this, is the ease in which you can do it and which you can replicate this scenario.
And the catch lights are cool. Like, that's the other thing about, you know, window light is you can get some really cool catch lights. So again, there's kind of two neat little catch lights in your eyes. And I find, you know, again, it makes the photo interesting because you're drawn to the eyes, of course, because of such the narrow depth of field.
Right.
And again, there's something interesting going on with all the lights in the catch lights. So I think this could definitely be used as a headshot.
I wish you hadn't photoshopped all that gray into my hair.
Yeah.
That's a little bit, I don't know why, you're kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I included a second one of you, just sort of the similar setup, just to, you know, drive home the point.
Right.
I wasn't sure which one you were gonna post, so I posted, you know, one more traditional winter window light.
Yeah, and this one's with your back more to the window, right?
A little bit, yeah. And so
I look like I haven't slept in a month.
Right.
That plus the fact that my hat, because when I was shooting your photo, turned my hat around backwards because the brim of my hat was getting in the way of the camera.
Uh-huh.
And you can't even see that there is a back to this hat. So the hat looks like it's a beanie.
It looks like a Seahawks yarmulke.
Yeah, it's just I don't particularly like this photo because I feel like my teeth look like they're fake. My eyes have like huge bags under them. But the effect is fine as far as the lighting goes.
Well, I'd like to have kept your second eye in focus.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but that's like how, you know, small of a depth of field we were working with.
Yes,
there, right?
Absolutely.
But do my teeth not look fake? It looks like I've put in a mouth guard or something.
Good point.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what's weird.
Well,
okay.
I feel bad having this one on my wall now.
Mm-hmm. In poster size.
Oh, it's giant. I got the.
Yeah.
Do you guys make double poster? Because I'm gonna need a double. Yeah. I'll just go ahead. You print? I'll split it up. You print four posters. I'll piece it together back at home. Don't worry about it. I can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This week's topic: Christmas cards. Oh. We're talking about Christmas cards this week.
Yeah, I've been like hinting at this for an upcoming photo challenge because it's got to get this done.
Well, it's gonna be. We should have. I should have had mine done a while ago. But it's well, the first advent.
You don't have one done yet. Like I don't have one done. I've been thinking about it and sort of plotting an idea. But
no, I wanted to hear your advice to like this is going to be your advice on how what to do. I mean, you shot Christmas cards.
Again, it's one of those things I've been doing for years, but now every year you kind of start to think like, how do I do it different? How do I one up myself? And I don't know.
Well, first of all, proper use of punctuation.
How to one up myself.
No. That's how you one up.
Oh, you're still on the Schwartz's thing.
Did we talk about it on the show?
Probably. That was like 5-6 years ago.
That was quite some time ago.
Lisa still brings it up. Yeah. She's like, wow, you better be careful. Al's like the autocorrect guy or whatever you want to go.
That is actually one of the things that I missed. I wouldn't have honestly brought it up.
Oh, come on. You wouldn't have brought it. Don't even start that sentence.
I wouldn't have brought it up if your wife wasn't a teacher.
I was going to say, if you weren't a giant jerk.
Oh, no. I think you haven't made that mistake again. We've learned from it, though.
No, not really.
We've learned that the apostrophe is possessive, and the proper pluralization of Schwartz is ES at the end.
Yeah.
We learned it.
It doesn't come up that often.
Whenever I'm there, it does. I make sure it does. Yeah. I've somehow inserted myself into that, so you can't think of that Christmas card without thinking of what a jerk I am.
Yeah, that's true.
Again, you have not made that mistake since, although I would do it this year just to spite me. Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. But my favorite part about that is that your brother-in-law and his wife, both teachers, they also told your wife that was correct. No, it's apostrophe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my takeaway, was that the three teachers put their heads together and made a rock pile. So, how to shoot a Christmas card. Now, I shoot them every year as well. You know, I mean, I email mine generally, but you know, so what do we look for? What's the first thing, like subject? What is the subject of your Christmas cards?
Usually my kids.
Your family. Like, I mean, I think
not usually myself and my wife, but usually my kids. They're the subject, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever been in one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or my wife.
I'm the same. I actually usually just do it with my kids as well. But I mean, you know, I kind of figured that, hey, if you want, you know, a snow scene with like a covered bridge or something, like from Madison County or the like, you could just go ahead and buy a postcard.
Right.
Or buy a store-bought one. So people kind of want personalized, that we live in this age where it's a personalized thing. So you're going to go with family. But so now, first of all, like I just wrote a bunch of notes because I honestly don't know how to shoot a perfect Christmas card. So what do you look for? First of all, what lens do you go with?
Usually the 85 or the 50.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to, most of the time I'm going to put my kids together,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to decide. I think the last couple have been a little closer up, so it's probably been the 85 the last couple of years, but 50 or the 85, and I'm going to, you know, make sure that it's mostly about their smiling faces.
Okay, so it's more of an update. It's more of an update on what your kids look like this year.
That plus it has to say Christmas. So usually they've got their Christmas jammies on. Usually I've got some Christmas accessories. We have, you know, a set of Santa hats. So I like to get them in the Santa hats in some way. And then I like to play with Photoshop. I like to kind of often I'll green screen it or white background it, and I'll drop it in amongst a Christmas background that I'll find like a free Christmas wallpaper or something. And I like to layer it in Photoshop.
Okay. Before we get to the layering part, now you put them in their Christmas pajamas.
Definitely so Christmas pajamas.
Costumes are important. Now, it's funny you say that because I'm a big fan of the Christmas pajamas as well with the kids. Sometimes, I mean, but you think about it, you kind of want stuff that says Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And with the kids, pajamas, Christmas morning, that kind of thing. But if you're shooting adults, you know, bathrobe is probably not going to do it. So that's when, much like the fall pictures, you go with a Christmas sweater.
Sure.
I like that. I mean, I find like a jacket is just kind of too confining, you know, like you want to see the people. Whereas a sweater is kind of a little more open. Maybe because the jacket usually comes up around the neck and that kind of. But yeah, I like to go with something kind of a Christmassy sweater. Add some more to the costume, like mittens or toques or something like that.
Sure.
Maybe some boots, but you know, whatever's going to really sell the time of year. Even though you're probably if you're taking this now, it probably isn't snowing in Vancouver, is it?
No, there's a lot of frost on the ground, though. It's close.
Okay, so you know, maybe you're shooting it in the sunshine. You still want to get those mittens and toques out.
Sure.
Get that out and really sell that the whole Christmas part of it. Okay, so next, you think about context or setting. Sorry, setting. Yeah. I'm not a big Photoshop green screen guy. I like to do things sort of in context.
Okay.
However, I don't live on the set of, you know, A Christmas Story. So, no leg lamp for one. But, and often we don't put our Christmas tree up until Christmas Eve here in Germany. So I can't really shoot my Christmas cards with the Christmas tree backdrop. So that's a challenge. So what do I do?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'll set something up with like a white background or something like that. But I kind of like it. I would like it if I could go and shoot like a snow scene, you know, out in the woods, out in the forest or something like that. That'd be kind of nice.
Sure.
So for me, it is all about the context of the situation, which would mean I would go with the 50mm lens like you talked about strictly. Yeah. So that I can include as much of the setting as possible. That's what I'm looking for.
Gotcha.
Perhaps this year. Go ahead.
You don't. Oh, I was going to say you don't want to go wider angle than that because it'll kind of distort your people.
It. Yes. I mean, you can get away with it. Maybe a 35mm if you have a lot of people or a group shot or something like that. But unless you're the Brady Bunch, you're probably not doing that.
Right.
Maybe this year, what I'll do is I'll get some wrapping paper out and some, you know, bows and stuff and make it, you know, decorate the wall and use that as a big backdrop. So some, you know what? As I say it out loud, I'm not doing that. That's not going to happen. White background, okay. It is. Merry Christmas. It's just all snow. Good for you.
Okay.
So indoors or outdoors? That's a question. Do you ever shoot outdoors?
I'm trying to think of in past Christmas cards if I have. I'm going to say no.
Because, it'd be pretty cool to do it at the Van Dusen Gardens.
Yes, yeah. Problem is the Van Dusen Gardens thing doesn't happen until too close to Christmas. I don't think it even starts until like the 14th or something of December. So
okay.
It's just not – that would be great if they did it in November, but it doesn't work out.
You know what would be a good one? And you can go ahead and steal this because I won't be able to do it this year. A photo of your kids shopping in the mall.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That would be awesome. And send that out. You'd get a lot of, hey, that's your Christmas card? Something to consider.
I like the idea.
Yeah.
Here. My kid's not really big on shopping, so.
Well, really.
Getting them in their pajamas to the mall could be a problem.
Oh, you don't do pajamas in the mall. No, you dress them up.
Oh, you got to have the pajamas. That's a trademark.
No, and the kids, at that point, you know, your son wears a suit and tie. That would look awesome.
All right. You can do it for them.
Yeah. Maybe I'll dress the kids up and we'll do that in town. Something like that, but it doesn't have quite the same cachet, I don't think. Okay, so now you got your setting. Maybe you're shooting outside, whatever it is. Now what? You pick your lens. What sort of aperture are you going to look for?
For me personally, usually something in the realm of a 7-8. Like if I'm often going to green screen something like this, or even just shoot on a wall that's bluish, so I can pull them from the background. Then I'm gonna go with a greater depth of field,
mm-hmm.
so that I don't have to mess around too much. I also know that they're gonna cooperate for about 38 seconds, and so I don't want to be worrying about whether or not it's in focus or not. So usually f7, f8, something in that range.
Okay, so now I do the same, mostly because again it's all about the context. I want to make sure that the background, you know, you can see it. I mean, obviously, some of it will be slightly out of focus, depending on how deep it goes. But generally, I want that to be part of the picture. Okay. So I'm going to start at an f8 and probably stay there. So, you know, 50 millimeters at f8, it's hard to go wrong with that setting. And that's going to keep your nice solid depth of field that you're kind of used to. The last thing I kind of want with the Christmas card is people to look at it and go, well, hey, he went really artsy.
I don't want
it to be some sort of, you know, hey, look what this guy can do with his camera. Good for him. Proud we are of him.
Right. I got you.
I want it to be kind of about, you know, the moment. And so it disappears. Yeah. So in that case, you want a nice, you know, medium to deep depth of field. Right. Where do you now, you said that you green screen it, and then what do you build?
What do you mean?
Like you build a scene based on, cut the kids out.
Usually I start looking at wallpapers online, Christmas wallpapers. And then I just, you know, I'm usually inspired by something. Then if I see something, then sometimes I'll, you know, hone in on, let's say, a Santa sleigh or on Christmas ornaments or whatever. And then I'll kind of, in last year I had a snowman where I found a cool wallpaper for a snowman with a green background. And then I kind of built it in layers. I took a picture of each kid on the green screen with their sort of arm around, because I thought, okay, I'm going to make them sort of put their arm around the snowman. I put the snowman in the middle, and then I kind of built layers on top of it to kind of frame it, and then, you know, lay some text on that. So usually first I try to get an idea in my mind as to what I'm going to do with the green screen photos before, because if I just take the picture, mm-hmm. I don't have an idea, and then have to kind of retrofit it to something in a background, that becomes a lot more difficult. So I try to get my general idea as to what I'm envisioning it being at the end, and then I try to take my green screen picture to suit that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I recommend doing that as well then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, where do you get them printed? What do you like? Do you just simply get photos printed, or do you go with like some of the preset holiday things that the stores offer now?
No, I just get them printed as, you know, 4x6s. In the past, I've also done 5x7s, because I think the ones that, you know, the most of the places, Walmart, London Drugs do is, you know, they'll give you a template and they're really easy to do, but I want to say they're usually about $250 a pop. Whereas if I do the work and then I print them as 4x6s, I can print them at, you know, 19 cents a pop. And then actually, I think because you're reprinting the same thing, the way most photo places work, and everybody probably recognizes, when you're reprinting the same image, it gets cheaper than, you know, just printing it as one. So if the first one is, you know, 19 cents, the ones after that are 12 cents. So for, you know, if I have to get 50 cards and send out to friends and relatives and everything, then I can do this for a matter of usually, you know, something like $5.
That's a hot move. That's versus two of the pre-done ones.
Yeah. So yeah, it gets expensive.
Is it really $250 each for the pre?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the London Drugs prefab one is like that, and most of them are probably around at least $2.
Cool.
So yeah, so it, you are paying for, you know, the fact that it's, a lot of those will print as a card, so they fold over, so they got your whatever you've mm-hmm. put and designed on it on the front, and then a place. So, but I just basically, my wife does this part. I do the make the card. My wife does, she just writes on the back of them to each person. Pretty sure all that's going to happen is they get tacked up on the fridge. So it is definitely a very inexpensive way to make a mass number of cards.
Hot move.
Yeah. And then they're personalized because you're actually writing on them instead of just having a typed text on the back.
Right. Right. And plus with the templates, I mean, they don't have a million templates to choose from. There's probably, you know, four or five different things. And so there's a sort of repetition.
Right.
Not that everything you do has to be unique, I guess, but it's kind of nice to have your own personal, you know, look each year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we end up doing. The times that we do print them and send them out, we just do exactly that. The 4x6, I get it all dialed in. But if you are going to shoot a photo and go in and use one of the templates, my recommendation to you is to just to leave some bleed room around the edges. Don't
okay.
And by that I just mean some extra room around your subject, so that when you go in you have something to work with. Like, you know, maybe the preset, you know, requires a 4x6, maybe it requires a 5x7. You won't know till you get there, and if you aren't able right. to sort of move it around and manipulate the image, you don't have any room to breathe, you're going to be disappointed with, you know, a head cut off or mittens missing or something like that.
Right.
So definitely shoot a little wider than you normally would.
That's a good tip.
That's the big takeaway tip for your Christmas cards.
I will second that 100%.
That's it for Christmas cards. One thing I wanted to talk about is what color scheme do you go with?
I like reds and greens.
You got to go red and green.
Yeah. I'll usually put either green background with some kind of red trim.
So you green screen it and pull the green out and add green in?
Usually to fancy it up a little bit. Uh-huh. I often do, or I'll bring in a red background and then I'll find like a green trim. I like holly, of course, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So I feel like this has become the challenge, is to find something different each year, because now I'm whatever my I'm 5-6 creative Christmas cards deep now, mm-hmm. and it's getting harder to come up with something innovative and new each year.
Poinsettias,
sure.
That's what you could do this year.
All right.
Okay, done. Lock that down. Adam's doing poinsettias.
Poinsettias.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
I believe so. Are you going to question me? Like, I knew the apostrophe.
I feel like it's poinsettias.
Well, yeah. It's aluminium, but we say aluminum. So,
okay.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I'm just that pretentious.
Yeah.
Could be. Okay, yeah, stick with reds and greens. Obviously. That's an obvious one.
Yeah.
Okay. Glad I mentioned it. That's it. So photo challenge for next week. We're going to go back to redo the window light one.
Okay.
No, come on. No. It's going to be Christmas cards. Christmas card time.
Yay. Yeah. Finally.
Yeah. So
finally.
It's going to force me to do our Christmas card, because otherwise I probably wouldn't have gone around to it.
And I want to, you know, hopefully see a few listener submissions. Because this is a fun one that I think a lot of people do. So uh-huh. be brave and post them.
Okay. Do it. Yeah. Yeah. You heard Adam.
Yeah.
Do it. Okay. Websites. Adam, where can people find the dance photos in particular that you just talked about?
AdamSchwartz.ca. There is a special dance tab, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And your stuff.
Find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com. No dance tab. Not yet.
No. Well, it would be kind of weird. Just pictures of you. You know,
jeteing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm good at that. I know how to jete and plie. I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be on Broadway.
Okay.
Yeah. Granville. Broadway and Granville.
Right.
Yeah, find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything that we just talked about, links and Amazon and all that stuff.
Great.
That's it, Adam. Until next week. Oh, wait. Next week's show... Just so you know ahead of time.
Who? Me?
Yeah, you and the listeners.
Okay.
Christmas wish list. No, okay. We don't do that. We do what our listeners should be wishing for.
Okay.
That's what we should do. So you come up with three things, five things. What are you going to do?
I'm going to come up with one thing.
One thing.
You can come up with eight.
Yeah, that sounds bad. That sounds
top
like a
nine.
Bad deal
the
for
top
me.
Top nine.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
I'll come up with how about I say I'll come up with at least three,
yeah.
Maybe five.
Come up with a small, medium, and large.
Okay.
Okay, that's I'll do the same.
Okay.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.